country to assemble together and worship and praise your name. May we take advantage of every opportunity that we can to do just this. And we thank you for the fact that you are God who cares for our life, and that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we've gone through this week, that you do understand, that you do care for us, and that we can cast all of our care upon you because you do care for us. And so may we be encouraged throughout this service. May we be helped. And Father, how I would pray today for our missionaries that we have the opportunity to support, and realizing that they're on various fields throughout this world, and as some of them have already ministered today. But I would ask your richest blessing upon them, that you would protect them, that you would help them to be salt and light where they are at, and that you would just bless their ministries and bless their life. Bless us here now as we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Day by day and with each passing moment, let's sing right out on this song this morning, and do lift up your voices as we sing. With us, and day by day he cares for us. You know, we serve a great God who can do anything, and so let's sing right on this next song. God can do anything, anything, anything.
God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything, but fail. He can save, he can keep, he can cleanse, and he will. God can
with me as we sing together on this old familiar hymn. You know, there's certain hymns that even are influential even in our country. One is Amazing Grace, but this next one also is another one that if you, even those that know not the Lord, know this one, How Great Thou Art. And so let's sing right out this morning. boys only on this next verse, would you? Ladies only, men will join them on the chorus. The book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 121, and we want to look at this passage of scripture, and this will be our main passage for the message this morning, Psalm 121, and trust that you're able to follow along, and let's notice together, I'm going to read the entire psalm, it's only 8 verses, so follow along as I read this morning. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Keep your place there. I want to preach a message from this passage entitled, Help from Above. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, this morning for the power of your word. We thank you for how it will help us if we will listen, if we will take it to heart, if we will put it into practice. And so we need your help at all times in our life. And I would ask that you give us understanding of this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Jesse's sons stood before the prophet. Their father knew a king would soon be found. And each one passed except the last. No one thought to call him. Surely he would never wear a crown. King, and even though your life seems filled with with ordinary things. In just a moment, He can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. One by one, problems come and dreams get shattered. And sometimes it's hard to understand. But things like chance and circumstance, they don't really matter. Our Father holds tomorrow in His hands. And when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. And even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment He can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see all this king. Well, it wasn't the oldest, it wasn't the strongest chosen on that day. Yet the giants fell and nations trembled when they stood in His way. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. And even though your life seems filled with ordinary things, in just a moment He can touch you, and everything will change. When others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. God may see a king.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning that God has a far different perspective than we do? And I thank Him for that this morning. Have you ever faced a problem and felt like you had nowhere to turn and no one to talk to? I remember several years ago in my life, it was what I call the darkest time in my life that I had hit. I don't want to say that I hit rock bottom, but I had cried many a tear. It was a very lonely, dark time in my life. And yes, I was pastoring at that time, and yes, I was preaching the word, but just a very, very dark space and time in my life. And I'm so thankful that during that time that God never abandoned me. God stayed right there. He, as He promised, that He would never leave nor forsake us. I learned that day something that was real practical in my life, that there is help from above. You see, there is always help and hope in heaven. And you can always trust God in any situation you face in life. And in this passage of Scripture, we see three truths that will help us from above. And I trust this morning that you will just take these truths to heart, apply them in your life, because here's what I know and here's what you know. You may not currently be going through a big problem in your life right now, but I can guarantee you that somewhere down the road you will, and so will I. And it is good to know that when we run into those problems in life, that there is help from above. Would you notice with me, if you would, in the first couple of verses of this psalm, that there is help from above to provide for my needs? Let's note these verses again. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The psalmist before this looked in every place for help, but the right place. He had talked to every person, but the right person. But now he starts this psalm off by saying, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Because you understand this morning that it is good at times to turn to others and seek counsel and advice and get some understanding. But there is no one like God in heaven who understands. There was no one like God in heaven who cares, because there's other people in our life that can care and express that care, but as the songwriter wrote, there's no one that understands like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And here the psalmist says, I am going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I'm going to lift mine eyes toward God, because God is my help. And church, God is our help this morning. Notice he says in verse number 2 that this God who was his help then was the God who made heaven and earth. Now I'm going to make a statement. If you're taking notes, write it down. Unless you have a great memory, you'll remember it. But here it is. The God who created everything controls everything. Let me get that to you again. The God who created everything controls everything. And any problem we face on the earth, the Creator can solve. You see, the Bible says for us in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 12, speaking of God, he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. You see, that passage is lifting up God as the great creator of heaven and of earth. Anytime we see it rain, it's coming from God. Every time we see the lightning, which we saw some of it this week, that is from God. Every time we heard it thunder, it is from God. That's what he said in that passage. And then he goes on and says this in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. You see, sometimes in life, we think that we have a problem that is just too hard for God to intervene, too hard for God to work through. But I'm here to tell you through the authority of the Word of God this morning that there is nothing too hard for God. Not a thing. I don't care what the problem is, there's nothing too hard for Him. Now, we say that we believe this, but think about this for a moment. If we only realized how powerful and mighty God is, we would understand that when God is the only help we have, He is the only help we need. Let me repeat that last phrase. When God is the only help we have, He is the only help we need. And I tell you, church, this morning here in this passage of Scripture, the psalmist says, I'm going to lift up mine eyes unto the hills because there is my help. There is help from above. And that help from above is one that gives me comfort and knowledge to know that He will provide my needs. But notice, if you would, also in this passage this morning, that there is help from above to protect me in trouble. Look now at verse number 3. He says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. You see, He will not allow me to fall flat on my face. Think about that for a moment. I saw someone this morning as they were coming into the building. I mean, not even directly into the auditorium, just into the building. And I saw them stumble just a little bit and stop. I'm glad they stopped, because I know something, that they did not want to keep going and fall flat on their face. The psalmist says here that my God is one who will not allow my foot to be moved. He will not allow me, if you would, to fall flat on my face. But then he goes on and says this: He that keepeth will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He will not only allow us not to fall flat on our face, but he then in this passage is always noticing us. You see, God can do something that we as parents could never do. We can never notice our children 24/7. We never can. But think about this. They say that there's over 7 billion people on planet Earth. 7 billion. I can't even really wrap my mind around that figure, but nonetheless, over 7 billion people on planet Earth, and yet there is help from above. There is a God in heaven. With that many people scattered around the world, God notices you. Amen. You are not a number to him. You are not a figure to him. He is your creator. He loves you. He cares for you. And in this passage, he says, he will not slumber, nor will he sleep. He is on shift 24/7. He's noticing you. In fact, so real was this to the psalmist, he writes in Psalm 139, he says, when I rise up and when I sit down, and he understands my thought afar off, he knows what I'm going to think before I even think what I'm going to think. I mean, you talk about the mighty power of God, and yet there is help from above to protect us in the time of trouble. And we find in verse number 5 and verse number 6 that he simply is protecting us. Look at this again now. He says, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. What does he mean by that? That he is the shade upon my right hand. Well, let me help us all with this. In ancient days, a soldier had two weapons. He had a shield and he had a sword. The most valuable weapon was his shield in his left hand. So when you have the shield in your left hand, the place you are most vulnerable is your right. And so the psalmist here says that the Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. That the psalmist is saying here that the Lord is standing in my life at the time when I am the most weakest and I am the most vulnerable. He is at my right hand. He is the shade upon my right hand, he says. Now look at verse number 6. He says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So think about this, the shade. I love the shade, don't you? Especially on those hot summer days we've had. Just nice, some of you have willow trees, just nice to get under that and just enjoy the little cooler air under that shade. It's a nice place to be. But here he is referencing, God is the shade upon my right hand. When I am the most weakest, when I am the most vulnerable, he is the shade, and he is such a shade that the sun that he has created shall not smite me by day, nor the moon that he has created will smite me by night. In other words, that my God will protect me from sunrise to sunset. He will just protect me. And I am thankful this morning for God's protection, aren't you? The angel of the Lord, the Bible says, encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And so we see in this context that there is help from above to provide for our needs, to protect us in the time of trouble. But then I want you to notice this. that there is help from above to preserve me from evil. Look now at verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. What does it mean to be preserved? I know sometimes that's how we feel as we get older and we watch our skin wrinkle, right? We're preserved. My wife knows this, but one of the things I do not like are raisins. I don't like it, just, I don't like the texture, wrinkled, and think, ugh, man, I don't, you know, just, it may be preserved, but it don't look, I just don't like it. But here, he's talking about the word preserve means to keep. And so think of it this way. He is saying that the Lord will preserve me from all evil. He will keep me from doing evil. Now listen carefully, church. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, there is not a sin that can come to you that you cannot overcome. Sometimes people talk about these besetting sins and that I can never get victory over sin. May I say that's contrary to the nature of the child of God? Because the Bible says this, that thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are overcomers, according to Romans chapter 8, that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so here he is saying that God preserves me, keeps me, protects me from doing evil. Some of you remember the old adage, well, I couldn't help it, the devil just made me do it. But may I say that whenever sin is presented before us, there is always a way of escape. There is always a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will make a way to escape. You can see this lesson taught from the lives of many Bible characters, but one stands out to me in the life of Joseph when he had an opportunity to sin. When he had an opportunity because it was just him and Potiphar's wife in the house. And so, hey, here's a great opportunity. Nobody will know except Joseph knew something. Joseph had a great fear of God. Joseph had a great respect toward the holiness of God. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And he ran out of the situation. You see, God provided a way. He gave him two legs to run. Then he ran from the evil. He didn't do the evil. He wasn't looking for the evil. But he ran from it when it presented itself. And we find in this context of Scripture that the psalmist is saying that he will preserve me from doing evil. Then I love this. He says then in verse number 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore, that God will be faithful to the end of your life and beyond. Hey, he's not going to just be faithful to the point when you draw your last breath. He's going to be faithful all the way through. Because God is faithful. Jeremiah wrote this when he said, great is thy what? Great is thy faithfulness. God will preserve our going and our coming. He is faithful. And I think we will be blown away in heaven one day when we will see how many times God preserved us, how many times God protected us. How many times God kept us from getting in a bad accident out on the road? How many times God protected us from evil and from wrong? How many times we're going to be just blown away and to see how that God protected us from evil? And here he says that the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time and forevermore. And so I say this morning that there is help from above. And I want to end this message this morning where I started it. And by asking you the question, have you ever faced a problem and felt like you had nowhere to turn and no one to talk to? May I say to you this morning, if you haven't gotten it yet, there is help. There is help from above. Look to Him. And we find in this passage of Scripture that because there is help from above, He will provide your needs. He will protect you in trouble. And He will preserve you in evil. Now, you may be sitting there thinking this morning that I don't know how tall the mountain is you're trying to climb, and how strong the wall is that you're trying to get through, and how wide the gulf is that you're trying to cross over. You're right, I don't know, but I do know one that does, and His name is God. He knows. And let me tell you, He's batting 1,000. You see, He has yet to face a mountain He can't get you over. He has yet to face a wall He can't get you through. And He has yet to face a gulf that He can't get you across. No wonder the psalmist says, I will look up. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Now, church, there are other places we could look, right? If we look around right now, we're going to be depressed. You turn on your television and watch any amount of news, you'll walk away discouraged. You'll sit there and think, what in the world is happening? And if that's all your viewpoint is this world, that's pretty hopeless. And I think there were times when the psalmist had that viewpoint, where he just looked around and he found discouragement, depression. I know depression because you read Psalm 40 and he says, why art thou disquieted in me? Why am I cast down? Why am I depressed? He says, I'm going to look up. My help comes from the Lord. And church, may I say that today in our country right now, that one of the things we need to be doing fervently is to be looking up to God and seeking His face and seeking His guidance, seeking His protection over our life and saying, God, I want to live for You. God, I want to go Your way. God, I want to trust You. Because right now, the way seems dark. Right now, things in society look dark. But I'm going to look up because there I find joy. There I find peace. There I find hope. But if your perspective is only in this world, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. I know we're in election season. I get it. But listen carefully to your pastor. Our hope doesn't lie in some Democrat or some Republican. Our help comes from the Lord. We better remember this. Because God wants us to look to Him. Amen? That's where He wants us to go to. That's where the psalmist wanted to go to. He says, hey, I've got to look up there. I've got to look up from... That's where my help comes from, not on things on this earth. And so, church, this morning, where are you looking? Some of you need to look up and focus on Him and not your problem. Because we all have problems, come on, right? Unless you're Chad Peck, he doesn't have any problems. Oh, we all have problems. It's just where we're going to look to get us through them. My help comes from the Lord. So this morning, do not leave. Please do not leave. Just focused on your problem. Now listen carefully. When we focus on God, that doesn't mean the problem goes away. Don't mistake what I'm saying here this morning. Boy, if I just look up, everything is just going to work out just fine, and my problems will go away. No. That's not what the Bible promises. But this I can promise you on the authority of the Word of God, which I've been repeating through the songs and through the message this morning, that you will have a God who will never leave you nor forsake you while you're going through the problem. I find that comforting, don't you? I find that encouraging, that no matter what I'm going through, I can look up. He may not take the problem away right away. In fact, he may never take it away, but he'll be with me. He will give me the strength to make it through the problem I'm encountering. I look over here to my right and I see our dear brother Gordon, and I think about how that back in March he was in the hospital, and I think about how how to have him here within the last month to me is a tribute to God's power. You with me? Yeah, he's walking with a walker, but praise God, he's walking. Praise God, he's with us. That's a tribute to God's power. I look over here in front of me, and I see Brother Wayne, and I think about when he sat in my office and told me that very grim news. I have cancer, and it's stage 4 and so forth. And I'll never forget him saying, "Pastor, pray for me that I'll represent Jesus well as I go through this." What a perspective. He could have sat there and just broke down and cried, and he's cried a few tears, I know. He could have said, "Man, this is the end. I don't have long." But you know what he did? He says, "Yeah, I have it, but I'm going to look up. I'm going to look up because that's where my help comes from." These men haven't chosen. They're living with their problems. That's gone away. But they haven't chosen to dwell on the problem. They've chosen to dwell on God. Help comes from above. And so look up and trust him to provide your needs. And let me give you one other thing this morning that'll help all of us. This week, reach out to someone and ask them to pray for you and with you for strength to make it through the problem you're going through. God hasn't designed us to be loners. So how do you know that? You read the New Testament. Love one another, serve one another, edify one another, care for one another. I mean, I could just add more to that. In other words, God says, hold it, the church body is to be connected. We're to love one another. We're to support one another. And this morning, find someone before you leave and say, "Hey, here's what I'm going through. Would you pray with me?" Someone that you can confide in, someone that you trust, but just lift them up to the Lord and pray together that God will give you the strength to make it through. Where are you focusing this morning? The psalmist says, "I'm going to look up." You need to look up today. Amen. Look up to him. He'll see you through. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would there be those here this morning who would say, "Pastor, God knows the problems I'm going through right now. He knows the difficulties I'm going through, and you're right. I'm facing a mountain I can't seem to get over. I'm facing a gulf that I can't seem to cross over. I'm facing a wall I can't seem to just go through. And today I realize that I've been having the wrong focus. I've been so focused on the problem, I need to refocus on God." And I wonder this morning, there'd be those here and say, "Pastor, that's right where I am this morning. I needed this message. I need the help from above. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, that I will look up and I'll focus on God. I realize that doesn't mean the problem is going to go away, but I'll be able to look at it from a different perspective. Would there be someone like that this morning? Say, Pastor, remember me in prayer this week, that I will refocus on God and look to Him for my help. Anyone at all, while we wait, just lift your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Someone else this morning, yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others this morning? God knows what you're going through. You're not surprising Him. He knows what you're going through. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? I want to be those here that say, Pastor, this morning, I don't know Jesus. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to know. I feel like I am going through life alone. I'm facing so many problems in my life. You see, we all have one common problem. It's called the problem of sin. But Jesus came and died and rose again to provide a way of salvation. And we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Would there be someone here this morning who say, Pastor, I do not know Jesus as my Savior, but today I'd like to come to know Him as my Savior. Would you raise your hand where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Anyone at all? In just a moment, we'll stand together and Sherry will begin to play through, and I'm going to encourage you this morning to come and just kneel here and cast your burden upon the Lord. Leave it with Him. Refocus. Refocus on Him this morning. If you can't kneel, maybe you can just sit right where you're at, or come and sit here in this front row. But we want to help you. And when she begins to play, I'm going to encourage you to respond this morning. We want to help you. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you that you do care for us. And thank you that you do understand far above anyone in this congregation. You, above all, know what we're going through. You know how it's going to end. You know how to bring us through it. And you know how at times our faith is weak. How at times we are just weak. We need your strength. We need your help from above. So, Father, today, would you grant that help? For those that know not the Savior, may they come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name I pray. Amen.